Sauce Trunk, a weekly trunkload of open source.
Hi, and welcome to Sauce Trunk episode 3, recorded on 9th of October 2006. This podcast will try to demystify the beautiful beast that is open source and show the listeners the more practical examples of open source and free software. I will do a description of free selected applications going from office applications, server software, to multimedia software, system tools, audio software, whatever. I'll take more time for the first two. The last one will be the little extra that is more than worth mentioning. As always, I will be drinking a Belgian beer in the episode. It's this time a Leffe Radieus. It's a pretty strong beer. It has 8.2% of alcohol. And it is a beer that needs to do some ripening in the bottle afterwards. Has a very nice red, reddish-orange color. It's made with the herb coriander, there's corn in it, and it's ideally drunk at 5 to 6 degrees Celsius. That's 41 degrees Fahrenheit before you Americans freeze the poor thing to death. Okay, let's taste this one. It's not bad. I'm pretending that I don't know it. I know it. I drink it not regularly, but sometimes in a pub I do. It's not one of my most favorite beers because it's a bit too fruity to my taste. It doesn't have cherries or berries or anything in it, but still it's a bit too fruity. But still, it will keep me company in this podcast. Let's go.
System tools.
Let's hit it off with rsync. rsync is a command line utility. Now, you can synchronize files and directories on a local computer or between different computers with rsync. And I think that rsync is somewhat the best utility for this task. And I'll try to explain that in this episode. We'll keep it simple. Imagine that you want to synchronize two folders on the same computer. Just type the command rsync space dash r directory 1 slash space directory 2, and they will both get synchronized. That's the most basic form. But what is so special about it? You could make a script that copies the one directory to the other and copies all the other directories that are in it just as well. But rsync does it better because it uses delta encoding for the synchronization. I'll explain it. It won't just copy the files and the directories, but it'll compare the checksums of both the source and destination files to determine if it has to do something. So if it finds that the two files are exactly the same, it doesn't do anything. Even better, if just a little part of the file, of the original file, had changed, for example, you have a very big video file and only the header information has changed in the file itself, only that block will be transmitted. Only that block of that file will be put over the network or locally over your CPU on the other side. So it really will dig into the file, find what is different in the file on the other side, and will transfer only that one. That is, in the most simple form, the delta encoding. Now, that's for local copying. Imagine the same behavior between two or more computers. Then you could have an rsyncd daemon listening on one computer, and via rsync on the other computer, you're synchronizing complete directories. You could skip the use of an rsyncd daemon. Rsyncd daemon is just the rsync utility which you started up with the parameter daemon. And you could use the rsync command on one computer over the SSH protocol. and nothing has to listen on the destination computer. The only thing that you have to have on the other computer is an installation of rsync. And of course, an SSH logon to the destination. So the rsync on the one computer will, via an SSH logon, invoke the rsync on the other computer, and the directories will get synchronized. Now, you could swap the roles as well. You could invoke the rsync utility from within the destination computer and invoke the synchronization from there. Are you still with me? Maybe I'm going too fast with this, but the basic is here, rsync just does synchronizations, and it does it very good because it doesn't transfer the whole file, just the things that got changed. For example, if you have one file of 30 gigabytes and you want to synchronize it over the internet, if you have to copy it every day over the internet, that's just ridiculous. Rsync just does all the little tiny changes. For example, you could use rsync in scripts. You could make scripts that every night do a complete synchronization of one computer to the other computer. You could make scripts that do a check every 5 minutes and synchronize all sorts of folders with another computer in case that server craps out. And it does a really nice and stable job. Once you have those scripts installed, don't look back. Everything is taken care of. I use a lot of those scripts with rsync at work. I have huge partitions on file servers that I try to sync every 5 minutes or every night, depending on the necessity. And it really gives you a very good feeling, a very secure feeling, to know that you have exactly the same file servers standing next to each other in case one really fails. You could have RAID systems on a system, but even RAIDs may fail, and then you have to come up with a solution very fast. rsync is there for that reason. Okay, just going to take a sip here. Now, there's a reason why I took rsync for this episode. I have a MacBook Pro, so an Apple computer for my work. We use OS X a lot, and we love OS X a lot. And I have a little partition with Windows XP on that machine. Usually I dual boot just to try some stuff out on a Windows XP machine. I have a lot of colleagues who work for the Windows department, for the Windows side of the company. And sometimes they dare to come up with some bogus story like, oh, but on a Windows computer, that would work in that manner, or it would be much faster on a Windows machine. And I like to put that to the test on my own machine. And most of the time, it's good to have my own XP just to know what they are talking about. So a dual boot once in a while, just to check it out. And with Vista going in release candidate 1, I was tempted to try Vista out, and I was going to install Vista on that little XP partition on my MacBook Pro next to my OS X. I tried to do the installation while I was helping my 3-year-old putting on her shoes, and wasn't paying attention, completely wiped out my OS X partition by accident. All my work files were completely gone. My system was completely gone. I only had a crappy Windows XP partition left on the machine. And normally I would be completely freaking out, but I have rsync scripts running at home to back up all my computers to the server every night. Every time I come in, the scripts will launch itself. And it was only a matter of reinstalling OS X and reversing the scripts back to my computer. And after, let's say, 5 hours, I had my system back like it was. So no harm there. All thanks to rsync. Okay. So the features, as I explained, it's really synchronization between local directories or different computers. There are really a lot of options you can choose from. You can, for example, use an exclude list. You can tell which files or directories you don't want to be touched. This option can come in handy when you synchronize complete operating systems. Maybe you want to synchronize the complete operating systems, but you don't want to synchronize the configuration files. You want them to keep the same network addresses they have from the beginning. So you can do that with exclude lists. You can do incremental synchronizations. So, for example, you could go back 14 days or a month with snapshots, all depending on the size of the backup drives you have. You could keep file ownership or not. You don't have to have special privileges on the machine to install this. You can easily install it as a normal user on a Unix machine and do it from there. You could use anonymous rsync to have source code available for mirroring to the public. You will see that sometimes that source code is made available via rsync protocol, etc., 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 etc. There are so much options with rsync. Just do a man rsync, read the manual, before playing with it. In that way, you know immediately what is possible and what is not possible with rsync. That's mostly the best way to be creative in your scripts. Know all the features of the utility before making a plan. Okay, negative aspects. Not really. I haven't found anything really negative about rsync. It just is really astonishing software. The author is Andrew Tridgell. Some tips. Try to lower the priority of the rsync utility when doing it on a production server. In that way, you can keep the production going while rsync is doing its stuff, and it can be really CPU demanding. Try to cut the script in different parts. If you have a lot of data on the same server, try to let one rsync do one directory, another script after 1 minute do another directory, because it builds a file list before synchronizing, and that is where the most time is consumed. So if you just split that up in different scripts, it will go much faster. Watch it do its stuff in verbose mode before you do anything, before you let it run automatically. In that way, you see which errors are coming up before you do it without checking on it. Don't reverse the destination and source by mistake. You will laugh, because what idiot would do that? But you will do that. You will, by accident, reverse destination and source. And it's enough to hit the enter button and lose everything in one command. So be very careful. If you have more bandwidth than you have CPU power on the server, just check the modification times of the files. Just let rsync check the modification files without doing the internal checksum. You can do that as an option. That uses less CPU power, but it will copy the complete file over to the other system. Availability, this is really Unix only. So Linux, BSD, Mac OS X normally have it all pre-installed. If it isn't, packages or source install will do the trick. There's rsync X for OS X that even supports the dreaded resource forks. Resource forks are the metadata used in legacy Mac OS X and OS 9 systems. It's not worth mentioning a lot because it's really a pain in the butt. Okay. But if you want to have it running on Windows machines, you can. Via Cygwin, for example, that's sort of a Unix emulator on Windows. Or there are native applications like NAS Backup and Delta Copy. I'll put the links in the show notes. So NAS Backup and Delta Copy are genuine Windows application which use the rsync protocol. Both are GNU General Public Licensed. The latest release of rsync is 2.6.8. Where can you get it? At rsync.samba.org. License of rsync is GNU General Public License. How to support it? I did not find anything how you could support this project, but the normal standards are in effect here. If you find a bug, report it to the rsync people. If you are a developer, try to help them by making the code better. And if you are a beginning developer and mainly work with graphical user interfaces, try to make a very good, clean, graphical user interface wrapper for rsync. Some people could really use a front end on the thing, and I haven't found any good ones for the native Unix environment. Okay, that's rsync. I know it's a pretty big one. I spent nearly 14 minutes on this one, but it's really worth checking it out if you do synchronization. I know a lot of commercial software that is really, really expensive, but just doesn't do what it has to do. This one does, and it is completely free. Okay, Lev Radios. I'm glad I have this one, because my throat would be very, very dry after rsync.
Internet tools.
Penguin TV. Okay, what it is? It's a media aggregator. So it's a Python-based RSS reader, and it's specifically designed for downloading and viewing podcasts and video blog entries. Now, why Penguin TV? Since you are listening to podcasts, you must know what an RSS feed is, or have a general idea. For those who don't, think it, of it as a list where all the podcast information and locations of the audio or video are wrapped into. Now, an RSS aggregator will parse that info and show you the information and present you the audio or video in one way or the other. Now, I was looking for a simple podcast aggregator under Linux. And it just had to handle my MP3 feeds, my ARC feeds, my video feeds, and the like. It really had to be very simple. No memory hog, no complex beast, not too much dependencies I had to install. And I think with Penguin TV, I've nailed it down. I'm pretty sure there are better RSS aggregators than this one for Windows or Mac OS X or Linux. And I will review them later in another episode. But for now, I'm pretty happy with this one. I wanted something small. I wanted something with a simple interface. And this is just what it is. It has a window with the feeds. It has a window with the selected feed items. It has a window with info about the selected items. And therein you can click play the audio or video, download the audio or video. It's really sober. It's really, really good. For example, I'll try to find a video podcast we can use under Ubuntu that, for example, hack5.org. That's the video podcast for the hacker, modder, and do-it-yourselver. That's what they state on the site. It's pretty good. And I can add a feed in Penguin TV. I'm just going to add the video XVIT feed into Penguin TV. And immediately I have it as an entry, and all the different episodes are coming before me, which is really, really, really nice and really handy. It's now downloading the latest episode, and I just have to click on play, and it will open MPlayer, for example, or Zine, or another media player, and there I can watch it in. Same for audio files, audio feeds. It's sober. It works very good. It has BitTorrent options, so you can tweak the BitTorrent downloads as well. And that is a very good feature, because there are more and more problems with people who have very good podcasts or vidcasts, and they can't pay, or they can't cough up the dough for the bandwidth. Now, BitTorrent is a very good method of doing so. And if you can have a BitTorrent feed so that the person who wants to listen to it doesn't have to do a thing, that's even more of a very good feature. So it has BitTorrent options as well. You can mark the feeds you have viewed, you can delete feeds, you can delete stuff you've seen already, and it's all very, very simple in its being very sober. That's not how you say it, but what the hey. I'll sum up the features. So we have you can use tagging categorization in the feeds. You can work with two feeds, or you can work with 200 feeds. It's a very nice layout. You won't be bothered with the fact that you have a lot of feeds in it. There's even support for authenticated private feeds. So if you have stuff that no other person can see, then you can just authenticate and subscribe to the feed. Like I said, there's BitTorrent support. There is a button for show today's downloads. There is OPML file support. So that's OPML is a format to exchange a list of RSS feeds between aggregators. And there is even resume aborted downloads support, which is very handy for us laptop users. You're downloading something and you have to move from one spot to the other, or you have to leave for an appointment. Then you can just abort the download and it will resume the moment you open up your laptop. And apologizing for the fact that you are downloading strange content while being in a very important meeting, to give an example. Okay. Negative aspects, it still can use some improvements, but that is exactly what they are doing. They are, it's a rather new project and they are evolving really rapidly. The differences between version 1 and version 2 are really enormous. The author is Owen Williams. Some tips about the program. Search for the latest version, which is now 2.02. You'll have to find it from source in most cases. The version in most package managers is very, very old. That's 1.02. For example, Ubuntu has that one package, the 1.02, and it's too old. A tip to the developer. I tried it on X11 on macOS X, but macOS X file system is case insensitive, which is to say the least very stupid, but it is. And he has created a file which is named Penguin TV with uppercase letters and a directory which is named Penguin TV with all lowercase letters. And well, just untarring the source code fails completely. But I changed the script a bit, renamed the directory, and now it should work. I'm saying should because I have some minor Python issues on my OS X machine, but normally it should work. It works beautifully on my Linux distributions, no problem. So, speaking of which, availability. It's available for all X11 systems, Unix, Linux, BSD. It's Python-based, and it uses some GNOME bindings like gconf, glade, and GNOME VFS. So no Windows support whatsoever. Latest release is version 2.02. You can get it at penguintv.sourceforge.net. The license is GNU General Public License. How to support it? Apparently, Owen could use some help with the distribution packages. As stated, the Ubuntu package is a very old one, so he could really use your help if you are a package maintainer or you know how to give packages to a distribution. If translations as well, if you know how to translate source code to your language, then please help Owen out. This program has a lot of potential. Okay, that for Penguin TV.
The little extra.
The little extra. Java Risk. Let's give a description. The original game, if you know it, is Risk by the Parker Brothers. It was made in 1950. And the purpose of the game is really simple. It's a board game where you have a complete map of the world. And you can put armies on different parts of the world to begin. And then you have to use the dice to conquer different parts of for example, Europe, or you conquer different parts of Russia, and you try to have a complete continent. If you have a complete continent, then you get extra armies every time it's your turn. You get assignments. You have to, for example, kill the Red Army before he kills you. Or, for example, you have to conquer complete Europe and South America, for example. So it's a really fun game. I really loved the game. I played the game a lot when I was a student. I think I even got hit in the face by a friend of mine because we were playing for about 3 hours and I really put him in a difficult spot, and he told me, if you're going to do that move, I'm going to hit you in the face. So I made that move, and, well, he hit me in the face. Really, really nice game. You really, really, if you don't know it, check this software out. Now you can play it on your computer. I'll explain. It's completely Java-based. You can post it on a website if you want. And you can play it completely by yourself against the artificial intelligence of the program. Or you can play it with players who are sitting next to you. Or you can play it over network. You can play it with friends on various operating systems all over the internet. It's really worth checking out. To give you an example, you can even create or download custom maps. So you don't have to only play on the world map. You can play in the tubes of London. I even saw maps which were complete university buildings they tried to conquer. It's really, you can even make your own maps if you want to. And you change the game a bit. There are some negative aspects. The artificial intelligence is good, but if you're a pretty good Risk player, you can beat the artificial intelligence every time. So then it's very important that you get people, real people, flesh and blood people to play with over the internet, or preferably in a pub. When playing in a pub and with a computer, watch those drinks, because they are really dangerous for your hardware. Some tips. Try to capture Africa together with South America and defend the both as long as possible. That's my favorite way of playing it. Just take those two and defend like hell. North America is too big. Europe is too open. Russia is too complex. Just South America and Africa, and you'll be very, very good. Availability. Like I said, it is Java-based, so play it on anything that supports Java. That can be Windows, Mac OS X, Linux, Unix, BSD, Sun Solaris, maybe even some enhanced cell phones. Who knows? It's strange what Java is currently all being used in. Okay, where to get it? You can get it at JRisk. That's J from Java. JRisk.sourceforge.net. But again, all the links in the show notes. Latest release is 10.0.8.8. The license is GNU General Public License. How to support it? You can donate via PayPal if you want to. You can help in the development. Also here you can translate it to other languages. Or if you are a very good artificial intelligence coder, then you can help Yura out, because he admits that the artificial intelligence is good, but not very good. Now I can imagine that making the code for artificial intelligence for a game like Risk is not easy. That is, he did really a very good job until here. But if you're a professor in artificial intelligence, then come on, give the guy a hand, because this is really nice software and really nice game, and it should be very good if it had that little bit of extra artificial intelligence. Okay, time to wrap it up. I got my first listener feedback about the show from a lot of people. Thanks to you all for all the kind words. I will try to keep it up. And your mail really helps me doing this. So keep sending feedback, keep telling me what to change, what not to change, and this thing can only get better. I got some questions about an org feed as well. Of course, what was I thinking? I have org audio, so that's the open source audio, downloadable on sourcetrunk.com, but I did not have a feed to subscribe to. And now I have. Just go to sourcetrunk.com and you'll see an org feed link where you can subscribe to. Leave your comments there on the site, or mail me directly via sourcetrunk@gmail.com. The theme song of this podcast is by Brand New Sin, Freight Train, and you can find them on music.podshow.com. I hope you can find them on music.podshow.com, because today their subscription with GoDaddy, the domain register, did end, and so there was no music.podshow.com to be found. So I hope it will be back online when this podcast airs. I'm leaving you with Dragging Down Main Street by Straight Aids. Thank you for your time and good hunting.
On the radio, I keep black cars.